Turn, if you will, tonight in your Bibles to Luke 10. Luke 10. Starting with verse 38, the story that I've preached on many times at funerals, and of course, we're not at a funeral tonight, but I always bring this up. And it's a very interesting little story, something that the writer put in here, and you see the heart of this lady. Listen to what it says. Verse 38, Luke 10. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, we thank you for the words of Jesus that he speaks to our heart. And God, we give you praise tonight. Open my hearts to receive your word, and God will give you the glory. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Satan is a great deceiver. And he often misrepresents the truth. He's deceives many people, and he has convinced people many times that if you want a life of excitement, then you have to live in the worldly life, that the Christian life is boring. Well, not so. The Bible tells us many things, but it tells us that everywhere that Jesus went, multitudes followed because Christ was exciting. I think it was the exciting times that happened. And here we see a woman named Martha that when Jesus was passing through, she opened up her home to him so that he could stay there. And I can see the house as she's like many people. They want their house just perfect. And they're cleaning house. She's washing away the pots and pans and sweeping the floor and getting her house ready. And there's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, not doing a thing. Well, both Martha and Mary were believers in the Lord. Both of them. They trusted Christ. But you see two kinds of Christians here tonight. And I think we see two kinds in our churches today. And we need both. We need both. But that's what Jesus says. Mary, her reception of the Word of God. And the Bible says Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. That tells me that she was a humble girl, a humble lady. She sat at the Master's feet, listening to him. I think of these young children up here as they sit and Brother Bill is teaching them. They're sitting there at his feet while the word is going forth in their ears. And where we sit, folks, makes a big difference in our lives. Our nation is suffering today because people are sitting not at the feet of Jesus Christ, but they're sitting at ball games, they're sitting at televisions, they're sitting at the restaurants or the clubs, wherever they may, but they're not sitting at the feet of Jesus. I got a letter the other day in our mail that we get of our convention. I'll be going to the convention here in November, but 80%, they say, of our churches are declining in number and baptisms and everything else. And one reason is that the evils of Satan are being pumped into the minds of our people. They're sitting at the feet of television, and they're sitting at the feet of computers today. You look at our kids today, and you'll find them hooked up to a computer or a telephone playing games. And most of those games have to do with something violent if you look at them. Now, I hope your children are not on there looking at the violent things, but they're pumping these things of the world into these precious minds instead of sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, pumping the things of Christ. No wonder we have a nation full of divorces today. No wonder we have so much adultery today. And I was just watching the news, the synagogue up there in Pittsburgh, where they went in and killed, a man went in and shot. No wonder we have to have guns in our churches to protect our people because of all the violence that people are being filled with and the hate that they're being filled with today. And if we feed our minds on this stuff enough, eventually it comes out in our actions. You don't see, you know, somebody said, well, guns, they're violent. And, if you use them in the wrong way, they are. But, you know, I've had a gun for over most of my life. I think my dad got me the first one when I was 6 years old. I've never shot anybody, says my brother. But I learned very quick you didn't do that. But, you know, we don't feed our minds on killing people. You know, there's other ways to do things. But Satan misrepresents the truth. And one reason is we've cheapened life. When we started killing our unborn children, we cheapened life. In other places around the world, life is not worth very much. And so, therefore, we say, okay, that's justified. And, you know, we do things like that, and we see our world, you know, our commercials that we see on television are all filled with violence. They're filled with lust. The newspaper ads and everything else, our magazines tell you, if you want to have fun, you must drink. You must drink or follow that kind of crowd. You know, I see one on television, Find Your Beach, and it's a Corolla beer bottle, and it's young people, you see? And they're saying, if you want to have fun, you have to have this beer. And Satan fills our images and our minds with these kind of things. In reality, that's not fun at all. You have to smoke, you have to drink, and we blame guns and violence and stuff, and more people are killed by alcohol-related things than accidents, and we don't do a thing about that. You see, that's just a life. If you want a real ad, you would show somebody down in the hospital coughing up the blood because they smoked and their lungs are no good anymore. But they don't show that kind of stuff. My dad used to say, when we were kids, my granddaddy had his voice box removed. He had a hole here, and the only way he could talk was through a little speaker. And he said, I want you boys and go with me to MD Anderson. And we went to MD Anderson. And I never will forget going in that cancer ward down there, seeing all the people with cancer. And Dad said, that's what smoking will do for you. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't even want to try that. So we didn't try that. And the truth about the good times about alcohol, it really loses. We lose our families. We lose our homes. We lose our jobs. We lose our happiness. And it's killing more and more and more people each year. And we don't do anything about it. And we don't have the courage to speak out against it. And we need more people like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. When we take Jesus out, then that leaves that void, see? And it matters a whole lot where we sit. And I think everybody is in our churches on down. We're dropping out of our churches. The rate of decline is very alarming. I can just look at the crowd tonight, and I wonder, where in the world are the people who say they love Jesus? They're not sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Amen or oh me? They're sitting at home and watching television and feeding their minds more and more and more on the things of the world. Mary was one who sat at the feet of Jesus. She was a humble lady. And also she listened to the holiness of the words of Christ. She heard the words of Christ. Instead of listening to the evil voices out there, she was experiencing the love of the Word of Christ. She was tuned in. I can see her now sitting there listening to every word. She wasn't helping Martha, because in reality, that didn't even exist. You see, it's like my grandson. You can go in and say hi to him when he's got a telephone playing on it. He's not even going to answer. He don't even know you're in the house. Man, you can say it's on fire, and he wouldn't move. You have to literally pick him up to move him. But I can see Mary sitting there, tuned in to the voice of God, listening to every word he said. And I think tonight, are we tuned into the Word of God? Are we listening to the Word of God? Does it mean something to us? Every single word. Now, look at verse 40. Martha was distracted with much serving. In other words, she was doing things with serving and cleaning the house. Now, this passage tells me that she had many good traits. And a lot of people have good traits. They have a lot of good traits in their life. Let's just look. She was courteous. It was her home. She welcomed Jesus Christ into her home. He needed lodging for him and his disciples. So she was very courteous and said, why don't you come on in and stay at the house? Courageous. She was courageous. It was dangerous in those days to have anything to do with Jesus Christ. When many were trying to kill him, she wasn't worried about it, was she? No, she invited him into her home. She was caring. She wanted food for him and his disciples. She wanted the best for him and his disciples, or she wouldn't have been doing all of that. Mary was there, and Lazarus, and they cared. She cared for both of them. So we know she was a caring lady. Most of us would say, you know, someone to take care of her sister and her brother and offer her home up for people to use and be there for them, that was very commendable of Martha. And I don't think Jesus was saying anything bad about Martha. You know, she made one mistake, though. And so many of us make the same mistake. She was caught up in the good things. She was caught up in the good things so much that Jesus said, you don't have time for the best. You don't have time for the Lord, Martha. And see, I believe so many people today are caught up in the good things. And if God tarries, we're going to see some things in our Christian lives that we've never dreamed of, I believe, in the future. There's more hate against churches. There's more hate against Christians in this society that we live in. You know, one few years, church was the center point of every town, and people gathered at the church and had all kinds of things going on at the church, and everyone loved everyone else, and it didn't matter if you was a Methodist or Baptist or Pentecostal or Assembly of God. You was there together as a community, and you respected each other. But Satan has two plans to most people. One, to get them so involved in the evil of the world that they won't have time for God whatsoever. Don't have time for God. I have visited people, and you know, they're caught up in Satan's scheme, and they tell you, well, preacher, I went to church when I was a kid. You know, that's kid stuff. I don't have to do that anymore. I've grown up now, and I live on my own, and, you know, I can do just fine. I don't need the church. And I'm thinking, boy, they have believed the lie of the devil. And when a person gets this way, when a person has hardened their heart this way, there's a slim chance that they'll ever come to Jesus Christ. A very slim chance. And oh, I've had funerals in the past week where I've seen this very thing. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, if somebody just sit at the feet of Jesus and learn about Jesus Christ, this would never have happened. But when a person gets that way, there's very little hope. And you know what? About the only hope we have is a tragedy. A tragedy might come in that family. A tragedy might come into that life where they knocks them down in such a way that there's no way to look but up. And we might witness to them. And we might help them out there, and they look up to Jesus, and sometimes they come to know Jesus Christ. A lost person is saved. And when a lost person is saved, then guess what? Satan can't get their soul anymore. But you know what he does to Christians who get saved? They get so involved. They're like Martha. They get so involved with so many good things that they don't have time for God. And I believe that's what we're seeing happening today in our lives and in our churches today. We have so many good things out there that we don't have time for God. You see, that was Martha's problem. Satan knows he's not going to get Martha. You know, she's not going to commit a terrible sin. This woman loves Jesus. So he just gets you so involved in the good things that you don't have time for God. And I hear young people tell me today, and this is what they tell you today, well, preacher, you know, God gave me these children. And, you know, they're on the softball league. And, you know, we go to a ball game, and let me tell you, they're playing on Sundays now, and they're playing on Wednesday nights, and I hear, well, we just don't have time to do all and come to church too. And we're so involved with our children. We're a family. And it sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds real good until those children grow up. And those children have not been in church. Those children have not been going to church. Oh, they've been doing nothing real bad. But you know what? Satan has them defeated in their life. In churches right here in our town, beautiful churches are closing their doors for midweek service, Sunday night services, and why? People who claim to love the Lord, Satan has tricked them into believing that being busy is all right to miss church. Did you hear that? Being busy is all right to miss church. Satan therefore gets people so involved that they forget church. They forget the Great Commission. They don't go and witness to anyone anymore. And you know, churches, first thing you know, they don't have an outreach program. They don't have a going out visitation anymore. Satan has accomplished just what he wants. Plan B. Plan A, if you never get saved, you get into the wrong crowd. You never go to church. You don't have time for God at all. And you die and you're lost in your lostness. Plan B is, I can't get your soul, but I can make you non-effective in the world. And we see in 41 and 42, Jesus' explanation. And Jesus answered and said to Martha, 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 you are worried and troubled about many things. Christ didn't say, Martha, what you're doing is all wrong. He didn't say that. He just said, Martha, you're troubled about many things, that you have neglected the most important thing. And I believe what we need today is to plan our time better. Plan our time better. Notice that word troubled. It means to be disturbed. Boy, she was pretty disturbed about Mary. She was pretty, you know, somebody said you can ruffle the feathers. She was, her feathers had been ruffled. I mean, she was aggravated. Martha wanted to please the Lord, but she was also trying to please everyone else. You see, we can't do that, can we? You're not going to please everybody. I found that out years ago. You have to please the Lord and pray that He'll get everybody else in line. You see? We do the same thing today. We try to please everyone in our church, everyone in our family, and God at the same time, and you can't do that. You have to have a plan. You know what? Our plan was, when I grew up, you go to church on Sundays. That's the plan. You don't play baseball. You don't plan a hunting trip. You go to church on Sunday. You see, that was it. Daddy believed the family needed to worship together Sunday morning and Sunday. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And yet we have excuses for missing with our children, and our minds, or their minds, are filled on everything that's going on except the good Lord and what's going on at His church. And you know, most people today, they don't even think nothing about missing Wednesday night service anymore. We don't have time for that. We go to work, we go home, and that's the end of it. Now, I realize some don't have really time. I've watched some of these parents, they run, they don't get home from Dallas to 7 o'clock, and they really can't, but I know some that come by before they go home. And then someone tells me, you know, I have to work on Sundays. And you know what I tell them? I said, do you work every Sunday? Oh, no, not every Sunday, but most Sundays. Well, why can't you come on the Sundays that you're off? You see, we get out of the habit, don't we? We find other things in our lives that are important to us, and we try to please ourselves, and we need to please God. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. And then He says, one thing is needful. The one thing is needful, and that's to sit at the feet of Jesus. Boy, if anything we need in our lives and in our churches today is to sit at the feet of Jesus. So I know you're the crowd that comes to church, and here on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, but you just ask yourself, are you like Martha, running, going, doing, but failing to do that which pleases God? Are you like Mary, sitting at the feet, listening carefully to every word He says? I was sitting there thinking, we make fun of Brother Bill sometimes, and Brother Bill is just a good sport. You know, when he says Genesis, that's the first book, you know, he tells us. But you know what? I was sitting there this morning and he was explaining that. It's important. It's important to replay that every week, every week, telling those kids that this book, because if you do that enough, it sinks in. My uncle used to say, you write it down, you read it, and you tell about it, and you'll learn it. You have to do it over and over and over. And that's the way the Word of God is. You don't understand it just by reading over it real quick in a Bible study time, but you break it down and you study it. You spend time listening to it. And you know what? You begin to put things together. You begin to learn. The Holy Spirit begins to open up your heart to those words. So that when tragedy comes your way and troubles come your way, you don't fall apart. You don't fall apart. And that's the peace of God that rules your heart. That's the joy of knowing Christ's word, hiding it in your heart, that you might not sin against God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the time of study here. And Lord, I know that most people here tonight are probably saved, but Lord, if there's someone here tonight, maybe like Martha, nothing wrong with what they're doing, they're just not doing the best part. And there's many things that are needful. Lord, may we just commit our lives to doing the best part, sitting at your feet, studying your word, and God will give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you